Welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Good evening, good morning, good night, good second breakfast, whenever you are, wherever you are. My name is Laura Gonzalez, and I'd like to welcome you to Lunatic Mondays, Lunes Lunaticos, the very first bilingual show for CSMP, the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast. And today, oh my God, I'm so happy because I have an author that wrote a book about tarot. And you know how I love tarot. I will have to ask her how she pronounced the tarot. You know, everybody pronounces it differently. Anyway, I am very happy to welcome Victoria Constantino. She is a longtime tarot practitioner and seeker of visionary wisdom. She spent more than a decade as an editor and publisher of literary fiction and nonfiction, and was the managing editor for a prominent women's lifestyle magazine. She left the field of publishing to focus on her writing and spiritual practice. Her previous publications include poetry and fiction and instructional guides for a business publisher. She attended the University of Oxford and holds a master's degree in writing. For more about Victoria, please visit www.victoriaconstantino.com. I am so happy to welcome you today, Victoria. How are you?
Oh, thank you. It's such a pleasure to be here. I'm doing well. I hope you are too.
I'm doing great. And the first question, I mean, as silly as this is, so how do you pronounce that? Because this seems to be the big controversy on the community. Is it tarot? Is it tarot? Is it tarot? How do you pronounce it?
Yeah, alternatively, tarot or tarot. I grew up hearing it pronounced as tarot, but I'm also from the South, so I kind of take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
So either way.
Yeah, I think everybody, you know, chooses differently, and I mean, it's understood, it's understandable. I, of course, Spanish being my second language, I was so used to say tarot. And, you know, it's divided. Some people say it comes from Italy. Some people say it's come from Greece, whatever. If it was Italian, it should be tarot. But who knows? Anyway, I'm so glad that you're here. I love your book. I think it's fantastic. And I think it's a very, very good tool for either neophyte people who are just getting into tarot or expert, even professional readers. But we're going to talk everything about the book in a few minutes. I'm always curious, how does people, you know, encounter this path of divination, spirituality? I mean, to leave a prominent women's magazine to become an editor, your story has to be fantastic. So of course, I really want to know it all. And let us start from the beginning. How did you discover that this was kind of a spiritual path for you, alternative spiritual path, if you will? So, and what do you actually practice as your spirituality?
Yeah, great question. So I've always felt like it was a coming home back to my truth and, you know, what's really authentic to me. So to leave, you know, the field of publishing to come to this was a natural step for me. I kind of had it with inauthentic posturing and all that sort of thing that was so prominent in that field. And I just, you know, there was a lot of that sort of thing. And, you know, I thought, okay, you know, because I've written other things. So I've written poetry and nonfiction and fiction too. And, you know, as a creative person, you know, I thought, you know, what would I really want to write? You know, it's not what I have to write or I feel like I should be writing because I'm a literary author or I'm a, you know, a nonfiction author. It was more like, okay, what do I want to write and what's authentic to me? So that was so important. As far as how I came to it, it was really, it was a calling. And I think it is for so many people. You know, I think that if you're just doing it for, you know, for reasons of like fitting into a crowd or something, you're probably doing it for the wrong reasons. And I would really question that. You know, so for me, it was, you know, I first went into my, I went to the first metaphysical shop I'd ever entered or seen or even heard about when I was 14 with my best friend. And we, you know, we sort of kind of stumbled upon it. And then, you know, we went in and I thought, wow, what is this place? You know, it was the incense, the music, the crystals, the books, everything was just so intriguing. And it just, it really touched the place in my heart. And I felt, this is true. This is right. This is where I belong. This, it felt like home. It felt real for me. And I thought, wow, I just want to immerse myself in this world. And what I love about it is that, you know, people just from everywhere, from all over the world, from different backgrounds and belief systems come to the spiritual path. And I find one thing I love about it that still resonates with me to this day is that we find this common ground, no matter, you know, if we were raised in, you know, I don't know, whatever background and, you know, wherever we are from the world, we can come together in this and find this unity where we can say, yeah, you know, let's share our beliefs on this. And it's just, it's a source of fascination to me and intrigue. You know, I love to talk to people from everywhere and just learn more about them because my own family history is just from all over, it's from everywhere. And so, you know, to me, it's just so fascinating because the spiritual path is and always should be all inclusive and welcoming and just everyone belongs there. It's, you know, it's not about the physical trappings or your belief systems or how you were raised or, you know, what, you know, belief systems you subscribe to. It's about coming back to the heart and how we can connect on a heart level. And so for me, that's the authenticity of the spiritual path. I think everyone kind of approaches it from a different angle and looks at it a different way and comes to it from a different place and for different reasons. But that's my take on it. So that's kind of why I came to it.
I think it's very loving. I appreciate how much you speak about inclusiveness, me being, you know, a so-called minority or person of color. I sometimes love that they call us that and sometimes I don't love it so much. But anyway, yeah, it is so divine, really, to respect nature and to include everything and everyone that is part of that nature. And it is fascinating that like you say, you know, you dig and dig and dig and you never get to the truth, but always have the truth, so to speak. So I love that. And I love that that was your background. Everybody that I have interviewed, I promise you, says like it's like coming home. You know, it's that warm feeling. So is that when you got into tarot or how did you start learning the tarot?
Yeah, I love this question because it was not a really linear path for me. So, you know, in that little metaphysical shop, I got my first deck and it was a Rider-Waite-Smith deck. And yeah, I love it. I still love it. And I have a miniature version here with me today. And I still have my first deck, but, you know, me and my best friend didn't know anything about it really. We gave each other readings for the first time. And my reading kind of predicted, like, you know, doom and gloom and terrible things happening. And then, you know, I thought, oh no. And then I was, you know, went into this fear mentality and then terrible things happened just as it predicted. And I thought, what is this thing, you know, that told me exactly what was going to happen and it was bad. And, you know, so I had a negative perception of it. But so I set it aside for years, decades, actually. And so, you know, I came back to it later and I thought, you know, okay, now that I know what I know, I realized, you know, I learned about the law of attraction in a really deep way. And I thought, okay, I understand how this works now. I get it. It was showing me where I was at the time and where things were headed based on the current state of events and my choices, you know, at the moment. And now I know that. And so it's not something to be feared. I'm going to come to this and really use it in the way that it's meant to be used in the highest and best way. So I can use this as a tool. And so I came back to it in that way. And I thought, wow, okay, this is powerful. This is a tool to connect with the divine within and the divine all around us. And now I understand it so much better and I appreciate it on a deeper level. And I really had to write this book because of my, you know, coming back to it in such a way after being separated from it, and separated really because of my own fear and my own misunderstanding. And then once I gained, it was like reality check. Now I understand what it's all about really and how to use it. And so I'm going to come back to it. And it just was such a more meaningful way for me to come back to it versus if it was more linear for me anyway. I think if it had been, and I had just always used the tarot and was comfortable with it always and never had that awareness of it in the way that I did, I don't think I would have appreciated it quite as much. And I don't know that I necessarily would have written a book about it. And if I did, it wouldn't have been this book. So I couldn't have written this book 20 years ago.
That is wonderful. And that is a great description of a journey, because you are absolutely correct. You know, sometimes we are just not on the right space or with the right knowledge. And I just had like this, I wish people could see us, you know, because the smile that you painted on my face when you said, when you understood it later. And I always tell whoever wants to listen, the cards don't lie. The cards don't have a reason to lie. I can lie, you can lie, we all can lie to each other. But the fact that the cards not lying is, to me, almost like we cannot lie to ourselves.
Yeah.
And the cards are always, you know, fantastic. It's not a secret for all our listeners. I love tarot. Love, love, love it. And the fact that different people come to it from completely different avenues and ways, you know, to do it is great. So are you a professional tarot reader, or do you just read for yourself?
No, I read for family and friends, but I don't read professionally. I'm really more of a writer. I do other things like write music and create art. So I'm an artist at heart. So yeah.
I think tarot is an art in and of itself, you know, like, because it's storytelling, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, in a way. So your actual career is as a writer, right? So how did you get into that? How does one, and I ask this humbly because I am actually trying to write, A, and B, because I come from oral tradition, so it's way much more comfortable to pass that information orally. That's why I do podcasts, obviously. But how does one get a passion of, I'm going to study to be a writer? Like, explain that to me, please.
Oh boy, my path as a writer. Now that's an interesting one. I think I'd always felt like I loved it and I enjoyed it and I enjoy storytelling, and I didn't come from an oral tradition, and I always admired those who do, because they have a natural innate, at least the people that I've communicated with who are in the oral tradition have this innate gift for storytelling and just like an innate understanding of how to shape a story and how to structure it. And I thought, whoa, what a gift. That's neat. I don't have that gift. So I'm going to write because I'm good at that. And I love it. But you know, then I kind of, you know, was in high school and I was writing short story assignments, and one of my teachers said, wow, you know, are you going to be a writer? And I thought, oh, I didn't realize I was any good at it until that teacher said it. And then another teacher said it. And then I got into college and you know, I just kept hearing the same thing. And I thought, okay, you know, then I had also, you know, this is kind of a side rabbit trail, but not crucial to my writing journey, but it was certainly a factor at the time when I was in high school. I had a mad crush on a boy who was he wrote poetry, and I thought, oh wow, you know, that's, you know, so I thought, well, I'm gonna write poetry too. But I was already in love with writing, and so, you know, that kind of like it was kind of just like a little fire to push me along on the path. But so it sounds shallow, but you know, for me it was coming from the heart though, you know, because you know, when you have those feelings for someone and you know you're just admiring them and you want to connect with them on that level. So it was kind of a heart-based thing. Now that I look at it in retrospect, I'd always thought, oh, that, how shallow of me to want to write for that reason. But no, that was part of it, that I'd always loved writing. But yeah, and it's just so much fun to shape and craft a story, and you know, to do this on paper is just my way of expressing it. But you know, I love the oral tradition, and I love hearing those stories told and passed down for generations. My grandmother actually was one who did that. And, you know, I wish I had recorded her, because she would always tell us the best stories when I was a child. And I don't really remember any of them. I was so young, but she was always telling stories around the table. And I just loved that. I thought, you know, that's really neat. So, you know, then I found out later, she also wanted to be a writer. And I thought, oh, that's so great. You know, and it makes sense. So
that is such a poetic story in and of itself, you know, that you kind of like, materialized your grandmother's dream.
Yeah,
that is wonderful. And I will say, you know, again, I'm not a writer yet, but I don't think any story ever began with like, and she didn't feel anything for anybody. You know, I think there's always that aspect of, because she was in love, then this happened. And so thank you, boy, who Victoria was crushing on and back in the day, because this is a great book. I love it. I love it. It's all about tarot. And when I tell you folks it's all about tarot, it's because this book has about a million spreads. And I love it. But before we go into actually the content of the book, how did you get into writing this book? Is this your first book?
This is my fourth book, but it's my first book in this field. So, you know, my first book was actually a book of poetry. And then my second and third books were written for a business publisher on contracts that they were like how-to guides. And this one was me just saying, okay, I'm going to write from the heart now. And what do I want to write? And, you know, I talked with a lady who was an intuitive, a very good psychic. And she just, you know, said, you have some books that you're going to write, and it's a series of books. And, you know, of course we can make our own choices in the moment. You know, I might choose to write a series, you know, who knows, but, you know, she was saying, you know, you have a book that you're going to write, and it's going to be powerful for you and important for you. And so I thought, okay, you know, and that was like 8 years ago. And I thought, where's the book? I hadn't had any ideas. I thought, okay, you know, I was on an inner growth journey. And so I knew that I probably have some growing, you know, I need to do, and some understandings and revelations I need to come to before I'm ready to write the book. And that was absolutely true. And then I was, you know, in meditation one day, and I just received the idea for the book. And I thought, finally, and, you know, yes, this is the best idea. And it felt like the best idea I'd ever had. And that's how I knew it was a good idea to go ahead and write it. And, you know, I was actually, when I got the idea, I was going to be moving in a month, and it was a long distance move. It was a very long distance move. And I thought, okay, I'm going to go ahead and just, you know, write the outline, write the structure, but I'm not going to do any actual writing until after I moved, because I want to do it in a comfortable place. And, you know, then I kind of like, when you do that, you run the risk of setting it aside and never picking it up again. And, you know, some of us as writers are more procrastinators than others, and, you know, I'm not going to say that I am, but, you know, I was moving and I had a lot going on. And so on the actual trip itself, and it was, you know, it was a trip where I could drive to the place where I was going. So I got behind a vehicle on a one lane road, and I was behind this car for 3 or 4 hours, and the license plate said right WRITE.
Oh my god, no.
And wow. then I got to my destination, and I was behind another car for a little while, and their license plate said Ryder. And I thought, okay, I got you. I hear you, universe. I hear you. I understand. Yes, I will do this thing that you've asked me. So yeah, it was a lot of fun.
That is the anecdote. That, oh my God, that is so like, want a sign? Here it is, a 3 hour. Oh yeah. My goodness. That is great. That is so fantastic. I love, love, love it. So let's get into this wonderful book. Of course, Tarot by the Moon, spreads and spells for every month of the year. What a beautiful book. I myself love a book that has a plethora of illustrations. And this book is not shy about illustrating everything, and I just love the aesthetics of it. When it was received, when I finally have it on my hands, is one of those. And I'm telling this for people who like me are hard for reading, It's a very, very easy to read book. The print is big, which for some people is important. And it is the way it is structured, it could be anything. It could be a book that you read cover to cover, or it could be a reference book. So give us, I'm sure you have more anecdotes. So now you're writing, you're in your new space, you're in your new place, and you grab your pen and or computer. And then what happened? How is this book channeled?
Yeah. Oh, that was the fun part. That's when it got really juicy. It was just a lot of fun to, get into the writing, because once I had the structure set up and I said, okay, here's what each chapter is going to look like. We'll flow each chapter for each full moon. So a chapter for every month, plus a bonus chapter for the blue moon. So I've got my structure and I sit down to write. And it's really just, I set intentions before I started the writing process to say, okay, I'm going to channel this in the most authentic way. I'm going to receive the information that's authentic and that needs to come through that will benefit everybody who reads it and that will help people, that will empower them and help them to find their own truth and help them on their path according to their highest good. And so, I set that as an overarching intention for the whole book before I started really writing each chapter. From then it was just getting into the space of, alignment and then allowing the words to flow through me. And I wrote it on, I wrote it on the computer. So, it was a lot faster of a process for me. I'm a big proponent of writing things down by hand, because you're, committing something to a physical act. So it starts off as a thought, an idea, and it's like you flow it through you and you write it down by hand and you're bringing it down into the physical. So I love that for journaling. For me, the process, of writing this book was through the computer because it was faster that way. I could just, the ideas when you're channeling, it just comes fast. You just have to get it down as quickly as possible. So that was a lot of fun. And I also, set up, I worked full time as well. So, I was writing this evenings and weekends, but that's all I did for about 3 months solid. So it was, a real commitment, but absolutely worth it. And, I'm backing up a little bit though, when I had the idea for the book and then I had the, first chapter written, I was going to submit it to one other publisher in particular. And Llewellyn, to me, I've grown up reading their books, or at least since I was a teenager, and I've always admired them. They were like my dream publisher. And I thought, I think a part of me was still in that headspace of, who am I to get published by them? I'm a newbie and that sort of thing to this field. And I, had my guides were like, no, submit it to them. Don't even worry about these, submit it to Llewellyn. And so it was a very strong message that I got. I got a date, I got a timeline. I was like, okay, let me get cracking on this because I have three chapters I have to submit, for the proposal. And it was, I think a 50 page or so proposal, and it was a lot of writing. And so, but I had a short time frame to do it. And I did this during an astrologically significant time of the year. And that was back in 2019, at the end of the year. And so I was given a time frame and a deadline, and you submitted on this date. And I said, okay, I will rise to the challenge. And I did, and it worked out. And I got an acceptance letter from them less than a month later.
Wow.
Yeah.
How exciting. That must have been fantastic. So congratulations. I really love it. And I don't say this lightly, because obviously as a professional tarot reader, and I say this humbly, when you see any book on tarot, right, it's usually the take of the authors in how the tarot should be read, and, or, like this deep, almost patronizing way of like, this is what the cards mean, and this is what you should say when such card comes to you, and the type of they're kind of like a formula of how a tarot book should be. And I open your book, and the first part of it that is refreshing is that you break it down on the moons. So it is important for people, whether you practice for yourself or you read for others, that kind of structure is kind of refreshing to me, at least, to like, okay, so this is the moon that is so-and-so. This might be a good intention for that moon. this could be good spreads, and then the ritual. So I love that you break it down like that. Was that the idea from the get-go, like it's going to be for each moon, and why was that so important for you?
Yeah. So that was a way, that was one of the ways that I tied tarot with the moon. So when I created that structure, I thought, okay, I think, you know, a good way to do this would be to have it structured so that people can come back to it again and again over time as a reference. So that was one aspect of it. And I wanted it to be as helpful and user-friendly as possible. And also it was part of the process for me to say, okay, let me look at the moon's energy and use that to create the tarot spreads and spells. So it was taking, just kind of feeling into that moon's energy. So the March moon, for example, and, you know, without any astrological significance. So it's, you know, sometimes we'll have like a full moon in Sagittarius, for example, but, you know, I had to, my work was kind of to channel it and find the moon's energy according to that month and that season and time of year that it was in. And I used that to inform the spells and spreads that I created.
Sorry, I was muted. It always happens. I love that you did that, that you tied it to the energy of the moon. And that is, you know, structured in such a way. So in which tradition, because I know there's different traditions that they give this, the moons, this monikers or nicknames, which tradition do you based off? Do you know of him?
Yeah. So these were, it was kind of a combination. So they're the common full moon names that I was most familiar with, and that you could find, like, for example, in the Farmer's Almanac. And so just what's been passed down over time and what I grew up working with too, and what I grew up hearing, like, you know, the flower moon or the strawberry moon. And that's what I was familiar with. And so I also wanted to honor the traditions they came from by presenting the, you know, a multitude of names. So there are multiple names for every moon, but they come from different places. And mm-hmm. So I just wanted to, you know, kind of give a glimpse into some of those traditions that contributed names.
That is beautiful. I, growing up in Mexico, we don't have that, not to my knowledge, that we, like, people name the moons like this sun, so moon. So I always find it fascinating. And it's usually tied up to, like, Indigenous or Native American traditions, and I really appreciate that. So let's talk about the book. For those, do you think people should, like, know tarot before they get your book, or can it work for anybody, that even if they're new to tarot?
Yeah, and I think that's a good question. I wrote it with the intention of having it be helpful to everyone. So I think, you know, those who are new to tarot could absolutely do this. And, you know, and then if you're new to it, you're kind of using your guidebook until you get, like, really a sense of the meanings. Because, you know, I always recommend to people who are new to tarot, when they're first starting out, do read the guidebook, but take it with a grain of salt. So, you know, and over time, as you practice, you get to know the meanings a little more. And so then you can look at symbolism. And so the book does take you through, like, the different symbols, like a dog on a card would mean a certain thing, and a lobster would mean another. And, you know, for example, and so, and then colors too, colors and numbers. So they're, you know, I love tarot because it uses archetypes, but also a lot of different types of symbology and a lot of levels of symbolism from which we can draw to create meaning and interpretation. So, you know, the color pink might mean something specific to you. And so, you know, or a rose might mean something to you that's, you know, it's specific to you personally. You know, for me, it's a butterfly. That's been a symbol that's been with me all my life and is linked to, like, a certain event. And so for, you know, for me, if I see that on a card, I think, okay, you know, that means a certain thing to me. So it's also very personal. It's not just the archetypes that mean something for everyone, but it's personal to you as well. Mm-hmm. So over time, like, as we practice, and, you know, I hope the book helps people, you know, to, it guides them and helps them to understand those different ways of interpretation as well.
Mm-hmm. I love what you just said, because I teach as well. I teach people how to read. And I always, we get into a point on the course when I'm like, but whatever your intuition tells you trumps everything I'm teaching you. And then I have to go into like, and yes, you're paying me to teach you this, to let you know that if your intuition overrides everything else, because it's such personal connection, right, with the tool, and it's such personal connection with the symbols. Right now, you mentioned butterfly, and of course, to me, butterflies signify the spirit of those who have passed on. Because I'm Mexican and a little obsessed with Day of the Dead and the connection with the butterfly, but also for when we have a death in the family and we freed monarch butterflies. And so there's always this connection with like immense spirits. So I think it's very interesting and very important that an author even says, but whatever the meaning of the symbol is to you, it's what's important, because we are the ones interpreting this language, right? So I just love it. I love, love, love that you put that. It's recorded for eternity here. Thank you, Victoria. And so let's go into the book. Oh my God, I love it so much. And people, really. Victoria was very generous, and she did not put one spread per moon. There are at least 5 spreads per moon. I love that. I love, love, love it. What is your personal preference, Victoria? A small reading, 3 cards, or do you like to like really put the whole meat and potatoes there and do like a 10, 12? What is your personal preference?
So when I'm reading for myself, I usually do anywhere from 10 to 13 cards in a spread for myself, because I look at it as a storyteller. And I think you mentioned earlier that cards tell a story, reading tells a story. And mm-hmm. So you can look at it as a progression. So it's a sequence of events. You know, sometimes it starts off where you are now, and, you know, you might have the Page of Wands, and then, you know, the Ace of Cups, and then, you know, the 2 of Cups, and then, you know, whatever. And it's telling you a story. It's showing, okay, here's what's coming up, or here's where you are now, and here's where you're headed if things continue to progress as you have. Of course, we can always, we have free will choice, so we can always make a different decision. So if we don't like what we see in the reading, we can say, okay, let me pivot. Let me change that, because I don't want that to happen, but I'd rather go this way instead. So, and then you ask your cards, you know, what choices can I make if I want to be here instead of here? And so, you know, it's absolutely a wonderful guide that can help us in all things and answer all questions.
So now I need to tell you, how did you get into, where is the microphone where you are listening into my readings? Because those are literally the phrases and the words that I use, you know, it's just, I love it. I love also, like you say, you know, personally, if it is kind of like a yes, no question, like one card for me, but I really like to get into the story. And, you know, I'm terrible to read for myself. You know, I usually go to like a friend or a mentor to like, hey, can you pull a couple of cards for me, you know? But with this book, because you have like specific, you know, like if it is a 5-card reading, this is what this means, da, 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 da. So then I think people like me who cheat, because I cheat myself when I read tarot, it's not until I put the card that I like. So this one has like the specific meaning for each card as you pull them. That's it. You don't move from that. And then you go into what the message is. So I don't know how much of the book you want to give out or not, but I just want to tell people they are obviously divided by the moon. So you have the wolf moon, the snow moon, and so on and so forth. And then there are spreads, and then there are spells and tips. So whatever you want to share from any of the moons, so people kind of have a taste of what's in the book and they can go ahead and get it.
Okay. So every chapter, of course, is set up with it's the name of the full moon. So it's, you know, the March full moon, and you know, for example. And then you're going to have, you know, as you said, five to seven spreads for every chapter. And then, you know, several rituals that you can use as well. And then there is an appendix in the back for, you know, guidance with like feng shui and how you can, you know, work with that. And I mean, there's just a lot of different information. One of my favorite parts when it came to writing the book was the sidebars, because that allowed me to add like other information, just little tidbits that can help you along the way. So there's a lot of sidebar information which can help you in your practice broadly. And, you know, it's things like charging, you know, your cards or cleansing your cards. So, you know, put a crystal on a deck is one method, but I mentioned a lot of different ones. And there's also a lot about the law of attraction in here, because, you know, when we come to tarot, we're looking for guidance, we're looking for wisdom. And, you know, the law of attraction is something that is just kind of part of our everyday lives, at least from my perspective. It's part of everything we do. It's part of our reality, much like gravity is. You know, it's a law, and it's kind of the way things are structured here. So, you know, I feel like that can absolutely help us in our practice. So it can be perceived, I guess, as a bit eclectic in that sense, but there's a lot of information that's all intended to help you in your practice. So,
you know, I constantly tell people, like, the secret of the secret is that there's no secret. And that is just about thinking, but then also acting and manifesting or materializing what you want. And I love that you mentioned so much about the law of attraction, because it is basic, you know. I think, I don't know, I learned it very, very young from my dad. He was a New Ager when New Age was actually new. And so, you know, I love that. So, folks, this is a book. And I say this for people like me that like to keep the books pristine and not folded or anything. But this is a book that is not, I hate to tell you, this is a book that is not going to be pristine. It's not going to look like new all the time, because you grab this book every moon and then you plan accordingly, and then you do your spread and or your ritual and or read about that moon that month if you don't feel like doing a reading. And I don't think this book is gonna look like new, because you're gonna be constantly coming back to it every month. And I mean, you give us here to chew on for years, literally for years. So if this is gonna be a series, I cannot wait for the next one, because it's gonna have more stuff to add. We are yours for years and years and years. I love the design of the book. I love to see little illustrations and graphics, and the color, the design, the graphics help me remember, again, because I'm not into reading so much as I am into like the story and the little details, and graphics help. How much of the design of the book was actually your doing, and how much was the publisher's?
So I set up the structure, and so, you know, I actually provided them with all of the illustrations. So some of the illustrations in the book are mine, but others are not. So it kind of depends on what would make sense with the layout and the way they could position the cards and help it to be clear to the readers. So it was, as far as, you know, the book layout itself, the designers did that, but I set up the structure so that they, when they came to lay it out, they knew exactly what to do. So
have fun. And folks, believe me when I tell you, and I'm not saying this because Victoria is here right now, I'm saying it because I find it fun. I love the visuals. I love the little squigglies and writings, and, you know, it's just lovely. It is lovely. I have to ask you, this is the silly question. Where can people get your book, Victoria? Where can people get your book?
Not a silly question at all. So people can get my book from all major retailers online, and from the publisher's website, from, you know, small and independent bookstores. And, you know, if your bookstore that you shop at near to you does not have it, please request a copy, because that helps them to know that people are asking for this book and that they want to be able to have it in the bookstore. So that's helpful to me and to the publisher. You can find it, of course, on Amazon and all of that. So
Yeah. And of course, Tarot by the Moon by Victoria Constantino spreads and spells for every month of the year. And I will have put the years because, again, you know, it is a great, like I said earlier, if you are one of those readers that like to go cover to cover, is fantastic information to have and, you know, store in your mind once you read the book. But I see it more as, then this is my personal take, of course, more like as a reference book, and that you will go back to it every month. And it is really a great deal of fun. And I think as a professional tarot reader, sometimes we are like tired of doing the same old, same old, because everybody does the past, present, future. Everybody does the Celtic cross. And then it's kind of like, that's it, right? And then what do we do as a professional tarot reader? So if you are a pro and you are looking for ideas, folks, get this book, because you can have like an 8 spread card. You can have like a 6 spread card. And then you can have like a 10 spread card. And there's a whole kind of ideas on this book. I love the circular ones and all that. So before the time is over, because we're almost getting to that point on the interview where we have to say goodbye. I'm sorry. Any plans now that the year is brand new and we're only 10 days into it? Any plans for you? Are you going to be promoting this book? Are you going to do teachings or speaking engagements? Tell us about it.
Yeah, so I did a lot of that back in August and, you know, last year, throughout last year, because, you know, the book was just newly out. And I did a few in-person events, but most of them have been, you know, digital and online because of COVID and all of that. So a lot of people just weren't doing them. So normally I'd go out and do a book tour in New York and LA and all of that. But this year was a little different. I stuck a little closer to home, Atlanta and all of that. So I have a lot of interviews that are actually available on my website at victoriaconstantino.com if anyone's interested in checking those out. And
go ahead.
I was gonna, I can pull a card for 2022.
Oh my god, that will people will love that. And I think, yeah, that'll be nice. How generous. So what do we do? Okay. Every reader has a different style. So what do I do?
So I just have my little miniature Rider-Waite Smith deck here. And I'm just going to say, okay, you know, I'm going to focus on 2022 and maybe overall guidance for the year. So what will 2022 bring? Oh my. So it fell out of the deck, the Sun card. I love it so much. We have the Sun. So this is going to be, I'm feeling like a year of heart openings, a year of coming into our power, of really coming into a greater level of freedom for ourselves, and coming back to long-held dreams and goals. So that's it in a nutshell.
That is awesome. There you have it, folks. And as always, remember, like I tell you, when, you know, I do my videos 3 times a week and I do readings and oracles and all of that for my audience. And I am of the thought that whether you listen to this reading live today, this is for you. But if you are stumbling into this audio in May of 2025, this card is for you. So, you know, it doesn't matter when it applies to you. And I love that it was the Sun, and that I love that it just jumped. So obviously you read the jumpers. I read the sticky ones. You know, when you're pulling out the cards and you pull in one card and then 2 come out, oh my God, those are the ones that I'm like, yeah, we have to read this one. Victoria, is there anything that you need to say or that you would like to say that I haven't asked you yet?
I don't think so. We've covered a lot of ground. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
No, thank you so much. Thank you so much for having written this book. Folks, don't forget Tarot by the Moon by Victoria Constantino spreads and spells for every month of the year. Small bookstores, neighborhood bookstores, Amazon, and every other major book retailer. If your neighborhood still don't have it, ask them to please bring it to you. And thank you so much for being so generous with the reading. Thank you so much for being so generous with your time. And I would like to leave you the microphones now so you can say goodbye to your audience.
Okay, well, I just want to say thank you so much to everyone who has listened, and I hope you've benefited from it. And, you know, I hope you enjoy my book. I had a lot of fun writing it, and I hope it helps you on your path.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Victoria. And folks, as you noticed, I was so passionately talking about tarot, I forgot to play music to y'all. So we're going to say goodbye tonight with a little music. And I will see you in a couple of weeks. So continue listening, please, to Lunatic Mondays. On the 17th, we will have the Social Justice Series with Jake Bradley. On the 24th, we're gonna have Phyllis Carrot on the show. And on the 31st, we're gonna have Mara Starling. And of course, they are wonderful authors and wonderful practitioners and people that live in this, your very own Lunatic Mondays. And of course, to tell everybody, don't forget to listen to Paganos del Mundo, Pagans of the World, Pagaos do Mundo, the second bilingual show every Saturday on January. We already had Chris on January 1st. We're going to have Harwatui Leva on the 15th, Patricia Finkler on the 22nd, and yours truly again on the 29th, just because January had 5 moons. And you know, the show is on Spanish and Portuguese every Saturday. And of course, listen to Reverend Selena Fox every Sunday and every Wednesday, to David and Janet Ewing 2 Thursdays a month, and to Deborah Rose 2 Tuesdays a month. Everything is on the CSMP website. You can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, and everywhere that you get your podcasts from. They are free. And you can download them and you can keep them or share them. And, you know, thank you, thank you, thank you, Victoria, for being here. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And as always, never forget that you are loved. Bye-bye.
Joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.